All right, everybody. So this is January. I'm going to go ahead and just I'm trying to do my musical thing. Obviously, I could do one or the other. Ideally, you don't want a mixer board. You want to have different sections that you can work. Not all of them that you have to go back and forth. Like I have one screen here. See, so you get to go back and forth between one screen and another screen. It gets to be so. I'm going to eventually set it up. But right now, what's important is that my voice, right, my voice is going across to you guys so that I can talk to you, because that's what I'm here for. After the show, I'm having another, I don't know if I get another hour or a half hour, but I'll be doing my music. And so hopefully that time, I don't really need to talk much, and I'm hoping that you'll just hang in there with me until I get this music thing right, because this is important to me too. See, I'm doing this show because it's important, but I like to do things that are fun and are important to me, and I have a lot of other interests. Anyway, so this is Don't Panic, It's Organic with your host, Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener. Those of you that normally listen in, you know who I am, so I don't have to tell you who I am or anything. Those of you that don't know who I am, Google Invisible Gardener, and you'll find a lot more about me than you really care to know about. But I've been in business since 1970. 20-something books. The latest book is called Don't Panic, It's Organic, I have it over there. It's one of the books I'm giving away this month. We have a contest. And thank you for your emails, but that's how you enter. There are several ways to enter the contest. Essentially, you go to my website, invisiblegardener.com, and you click on the newsletter, and put your information in the newsletter, and there's some place in there for comments or something. There's a box you press to enter contest. But if you have a question, it's even better because I love to answer questions. And then you get entered in a contest. And then once a month, I pick from that group of folks that are in the newsletter, right, to get to win the prize. And we have two different types of contests, by the way. One is for members. So I run a club, see? And I've been doing this a long time. And I do a service here in a little village called Malibu, and it's outside. I don't know what that was, but the computer likes to make all kinds of funny noises. Anyway, so I do a service. It's called Invisible Gardener. Been doing it a long time. Started earlier back in the sixth grade, but here locally in California, I've been doing it for quite a few years now. Natural spraying service, a whole soil restoration. I like to call myself a soil doctor. But anyway, so I've been doing this for a long time, but people wanted my help. I started a club, and I started a club in 1970. I'm actually an ordained minister. It's a church. It's a religious, charitable, and educational organization. I had to use the word religious because that's what they categorize it as. But in those days, they didn't have New Age. So they had religious. And so the charitable is always, I always like to give thing. Educational is how I started the Living Institute of Survival Technology, which runs the Invisible Gardener. See, the institute, the list, we talk about all the different systems. We learn how to basically survive. And the Invisible Gardener actually puts it into practice and teaches and uses it as part of the business model. So again, I started a club because I can't get to everybody. So when the internet came along, I actually started with a bulletin board system. When the computers first came out and people can dial into my computer, and I would have four or five or eight different phone lines that they could dial in, and they all communicate with each other. And just like we're doing now on a website, but it was a lot more interactive, I think, because you knew who the other people were. You were talking to them. It was really live, and it was a lot of fun. But anyway, that turned into, when the internet came up, I turned into the club. It used to be called Invisible Gardeners of America. I love that sound it's making. Invisible Gardeners of America. And it eventually because people in Europe and other places, do I need to join Invisible Gardeners of America? How about Invisible Gardeners of Earth or something? So we call it Club IG for club, like Club Med, but it's actually Club Invisible Gardener. So I charge, $55 for a lifetime to get my $20 book, which what I do as part of the contest, you get the membership, right? So you're going to get the $55 membership, which means I sent you the book, and you have access to the website. I have over 20-something books out there you can get access to. One of the books you're going to get today, as a matter of fact, because we're doing, this is BRICS Month, right? BRIX. And I talk a lot about BRICS all the time. And so a lot of people are very confused, and it's not a new, it's not an old, it was an old, it's been around a long time, but it's really new in terms of the general public. Even professionals in certain areas don't even know what you're talking about when you talk about BRICS. And so this is BRIC Month. I'm going to be talking about refractometer, what it is, how to use it. And I'm going to give a little bit of history, right, as to how BRICS came into being. This is nothing that I invented. It's basically, it's been around a long, long time. It's just like me, I've been around a long, long time. And so I started at 19. Let's see, well, as a kid, I started doing gardening, through gardening business. But I didn't really get the name Invisible Gardener until I got out of the service in 1970. And that's when I started the church. It was called Astor's Garden, and there still is a somebody sent me a link to the Gainesville to this lady who writes a blog on about Gainesville, Florida, because that's where I started at. And she talks about how it was my paper, because I published several different publications at the time. One was called The Florida People's Yellow Pages, a New Age Traveler's Guide to Florida. Then there was the Gainesville People's Yellow Pages. And this was like early days, so I did all the different up and coming things, from yoga to meditation centers to all these different things, So I published, and it was, I travel around Florida. I knew Florida, so I wrote the Florida's Traveler's Guide to Florida and talked about all the different places around you can. So I was doing that already for a long time in Gainesville. And so I started the so that's and then the Invisible Gardener didn't really start to take off. And I did a lot in Gainesville, but I wasn't doing services. I was mainly doing free donation. I was going to different centers and donating my time to do their gardening for them, make the flowers beautiful. What the hell is going on out there? Don't bother him. He's making everything beautiful there. Anyway, so I've been in gardening and for a long time, and I stumbled upon the BRICS information only out of well, see, I'm actually a scientist, but this whole thing with the BRICS it started with me, with the fact that when I would go shopping with my mom, she would at the grocery store, she knew the grocer, and they would say, "Here, try this, taste that." And I said, "Mom, why are they giving you stuff to taste?" Well, she says, "If they don't give it to me, I'm going to take a piece out of it and taste it anyway. So they might as well just give me a piece." And they do that now. If you go to a grocery store, you'll see little slices that they'll give you. You can taste it, because in the old, as I remember my mom trying to tell me, go pick something. I'll go, how would I know if it's ready or not? She says, well, if it tastes good, then, well, I can't be biting into them, And I told the grocery, the guy would give me a piece. Well, it tastes good, And so I was going, well, so I'm sure this is not really done by taste, because that impressed me in the sense of, well, and when you think about it, right? Mother Nature is very smart. She wants us to eat sweet things as opposed to sour things. Sour means danger. Don't eat. Sweet means good. Yummy, yummy. For lots of reasons. And so the way this BRICS thing, so the way I learned, so I already knew about something to do with BRIC, and I mean, it has to do with the sweetness and so forth. But it wasn't until I started doing my radio show, because I started my radio show in around 1971, 72. But in those days, you basically had to go to the brick and mortar place. You have to drive to the studio. Plug yourself in, and do this. In those days, I was lucky; I didn't have to pay for it. Later on, as things went on, because I was involved in a variety of different stations, some I was lucky to do free, like KPFK in L.A. I did it for maybe 10 years. I did, let's see, I did, I've forgotten most of the names now. There were a few of them I did in Florida, you know, the public broadcasting stations. And then I did a whole bunch that I paid for. I've been doing this a long time. So when I started doing my business, I remember I started to read about, read more, but I was reading more, and I was studying the biodynamics. I was studying at that time. I was just, I didn't want to say too much, but I knew a lot, and I wanted to. I went to University of Florida, their horticulture and agriculture department. I went to a University of Texas again in their horticulture and agriculture department. University of Colorado in Boulder in the ag in the horticultural department, agricultural department. But I also expanded to other things. I did photography, artwork, dance. You know, I'm a white and music, but so what happened in my readings, I started to, and then I was giving talks all the time. I've been doing this since a kid. So one of the places I was giving talks to, it was called Nitron. It was a, they're called Nitron 835. It's still around there in Fayetteville, Arkansas. But they were giving a, organic conference. They invited me to come in as a speaker. This was 1970 something, 76, 77, 78, 5. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But I would go there, fly to Fayetteville, Arkansas. Beautiful. I remember sometimes it would be during the right time of year when all the trees are a certain color, bright orange or yellow. Wow. But when I went there and started giving my talks about my philosophy and, about organics and all this stuff, because I'm into, as I say, I'm a scientist, also a natural healer, and also a farmer, So you put them all together, you come up with these really interesting things. I believe in energy. I believe in how the whole system works, and I understand it a lot better than most people. And so when I give a talk, I end up talking about energy, and I end up talking about how the about minerals, and scientists love that stuff. Because we can talk about energy and about the relationship to mineral and diseases and pests. So anyway, I ran into a person named Arden Anderson, and it turns here's a guy who is a doctor, went to be a farmer to go back to be a doctor so that he can apply what he learned as a farmer being a doctor, which is exactly what, not what I've been saying you do, but exactly what happens is that you. People need to understand that we are definitely connected in a lot of ways that you don't realize. And that's how I deal with natural tree care and soil care. And that's why I call myself a soil doctor, or I don't know the terminology. But anyway, Arden Anderson promoted this very same, how to use a refractometer, how to measure the BRICS level of it, how the relationship between the BRICS level and health and stuff like that. And this is stuff that I already knew already, in a sense that I wasn't using a refractometer, because all that refractometer did to me is it verified what I was saying. I could say minerals, 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 and now, and like just yesterday, this person says all you need is iron, potassium, and calcium. Iron, you need nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And I go, what about the other 93 minerals? Because it's 96 you need. Some of them are called exotics because they're exotic. They're very, very tiny amount. Even the things you think that are poisonous, like cadmium, mercury, lead, even if you think, those sound bad, they're also needed. Silver, you name them, they're all needed. So anyway, it was actually invented by a guy named A.W.F. Bricks. Okay, he's a German chemist in 1798. Okay. So he started measuring the density of juices, okay, because that's what BRICS is really about, at least in a starting point, okay, because it's a way to measure solids in a given plant juice, okay, in the way of so you, for example, right now BRICS is associated mainly with wine, beer, any of those things in between there. Plus, you can also measure the juice of orange juice, juices like that, grape juice, corn syrups. You name the there are lots of different things you can use bricks for. And there's also bricks in industrial work, bricks in chemistry, right, in the body. There are a lot of correlations, and also there's lots of correlations in the use of refractometer. Because a refractometer, what it does is it refracts light, and it breaks it up into its basic components, and it tells you the minerals. So what's it made out of? In other words, so I look at minerals. So if it has iron, calcium, magnesium, and that's how you can tell. You use a refractometer, or it's a giant telescope. You look into space, and they can tell what other planets are made up by the refractometer light that comes through. Right? I hope that I'm still doing well, Mr. Engineer, because it's very quiet. I don't hear you anymore. I see my voice going. That's kind of cool. I can talk and I can, hi, hi, hello. Cool. Okay, I can't look anymore. I can't look. It was invented by Professor Briggs. Okay, so they call it a Briggs, Brix. You can look it up. All this information, by the way, will be available in this free Briggs ebook that I'm giving away. And it's not my ebook. It was a friend of mine who published it, and it says give it away all you want to, and as long as you tell them where it's from and everything is all of this information there. I'm just passing it on. As a reprint from a company called Perfect Blend, and it's done by Rex Harry, Harrell, okay, Harrill, Perfect Organic Blend. It's using a refractometer to test the qualities of fruits and vegetables. And it tells you the history of the really cool information that you want to know, so that way you can get a little background on it. Oh yeah, I was reading Rodale, organic gardening, the whole thing there. It was really, I still am. I get Acres USA. It's one of my first things I did. Acres USA. If you're not getting Acres USA and you're into organic, you're missing a whole stuff. Because I remember the first thing I did in a magazine somewhere. I said, "Oh, I want Acres USA." I got a subscription to Acres USA, and this was like 70. I have no idea what type of year it was. 70 something. Anyway. So this month I will be teaching you how to use a refractometer, what refractometers to buy, because there are tons of them out there in the market. I have four refractometers, one's worth $10,000, one's worth $300, one's worth $95, and one's worth $25. And guess what? Guess what? They're identical readings, identical. All the readings, obviously the one for $400 is an analog, no, it's a digital. That's one of the hard one to work with because the little light comes on the buttons. You can't do it outside in the light. You have to have all these conditions. You get a web, blah, blah. So it's a hard one to work with. But then you have the analog, which basically you look through the lens. And it's same thing. The $25 one is a beer one for beer. There's another one, $98, a little better quality. And then the $300 one is the digital. And the $10,000 one is from Leica, the film company. The camera company, and I received it as a gift. Why say 10,000? That was at that time, because it was fairly new and all that stuff. Right now, it's probably worth maybe 1,000, 2,000 when you buy it. But they have refractometers; it goes up into hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending upon what's being used for. Okay, so the Briggs was invented by Dr. Briggs, who was a chemist, but he's also an excellent cook. And so he eventually started applying it to other things. And then there's another thing that happened in my life, and that is I ran into I got to meet and know a person. His name was Carrie Reams, R-E-A-M-S, Dr. Carrie Reams. And he further introduced me to a variety of other things that I was aware of and just needed to be explained more, so that then once you understand it, you'll find that one of the things he talked about was soft rock phosphate. And this is something that when they'd make hard phosphate rock from the manufacturing of fertilizers, you have this soft rock phosphate, which is washed away in the water as part of the impurity. But the soft rock phosphorus is very, very important to healthy growth. So it's called soft rock phosphate. That's one of the things he talked about. But, of course, he talked about the quality of food and how important, what you eat is important, what you put in your mouth and all this stuff in terms of also relationship to health and diseases. And they came up with a guide as to what your refractometer level should be. And they call it PAGE, PAGE, which means poor, average, good, or excellent. Okay. And so I will be explaining to you, I have some more time, but basically next show, right, is going to be all about the refractometer. I'm going to show you how to use it and how it works. And so, unfortunately, if I had thought it out more, and it's still very possible because I have this whole month working with it. See, so what I suggest you all do, if you are really into this growing thing, that you get yourself a refractometer, and that way, while we'll go through it, you'll have it. And I would go up to Amazon, and I say Amazon, but you can also go to let's see, what's the other one? I forget eBay, right? And so, but basically either Amazon, you write refractometer. You're going to get a whole bunch of refractometers up there for different things. So you can look for refract. So what you want to do is that, see, the refractometers, they have these numbers, and the numbers can go from as high as 2,000. You don't want that. You want to deal with basically plants and stuff like that, which basically means you want to deal with refractometer. It goes up to about maybe 32 or 38 in the numbers. It's broken up evenly that way. That way you can tell if something is a Brix level of 24 or a 10 as opposed to 2,000, because that's for lots of other uses for it. So basically, if you're dealing with beer, it's good, right? So I found that beer falls within the range of what I want to work with. And again, I bought one for $35. You don't have to go that cheap. It's really a cheap little unit. I don't know if I have it with me over here or not, but it's a very, very cheap. You can tell, and it works. That's the point. I don't see it anywhere. I carry it with me. I have several of them. They seem to be always floating around. And it works. I bought one for $98. It's a little bit better quality, a little bit harder, sturdier, It works. And I also bought a digital one for $300. It works, but as I said, a digital is a little bit, you can't go outside in the sun and do it. You can't see it. You have to do it and be able to see it, and it has batteries that makes it work, and it's very delicate, and you have to know what you're doing. So it's in a lab environment or in a room, where you can put the stuff in it and deal with it. And I have another one that's very expensive, and it's an analog, and it does the same thing. So I would say if you can't afford it, get the $35 one. And we'll do a little bit of tax and shipping. It's be under $50. I would get the $98 one. Only because it's a little better quality. But like I said, to be truthful, that $35 one is perfect. It's really nice. I would get that one. So it's just look at it. Just look for one that's around $35. It says it's made from beer, refractometer, and order it. And then if you have it here, I can show you and talk to you about using it. You can always call me. By the way, I didn't mention calling. Let me see now. I have it written down here somewhere. I don't know what I do with all this stuff. Where did everything go to? I don't know what's going on here. This is like, I just finished. help me. Let's see, where is it at? I had it written down here a moment. I have everything written down, but for some reason I must have done something stupid to it, which is what I've been doing lately. You won't believe it. I've just been really busy doing all kinds of stuff. It's kind of cool, but there's no excuse for it, right? Let me see. I know I have written down here somewhere. Okay, so let's see. If you want to call and talk to me, good luck. I may have given the number earlier, but I don't have it down anymore. I had a piece of paper which seems to have floated away. Oh, maybe this is it. 888-627-6008. you want to talk to me, or 323-744-4831. I suggest, you know, I think, you know how to get in touch with me, call me, because you go to bbsradio.com and you listen to my show through their website. It has all their phone numbers out there to get a hold of me, including how to get a hold of me through Skype, BBS Radio PR. And that way you can talk to me, and I'm happy to help you with the refractometer trick, right? So next week, I'm going to – so what I like to do is next week, I'm telling you in advance, and it's going to be refractometer and bricks month. I didn't have enough time to schedule some people to come on and talk about the refractometer and bricks. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give them another opportunity down the road to do another bricks. I might do something on a regular basis every month about bricks. I'm starting to become, I feel like I need to continue the process and also involve other people, because there are lots of people who can talk about bricks and refractometer. I personally like to have Arden Anderson on as a guest. And I'll try again to get a hold of him. Now, he says that I haven't been able to get a hold of him in at least a few years, and he's become very famous and very hard to get a hold of. Okay, so the ebook that I'm giving away gives you the basic, poor and average and good and excellent bricks reading. I'll give you an example. There's vegetables and fruit listed here. There's also a wide variety of plants, grapes, you know, and it gives you the chart reading. And so here's the thing in a nutshell, why you want to know about bricks. And basically, I want to try to explain to you that this is probably the single most important thing that I can teach anybody. That so before I go, I like to pass it along to somebody, because this is what I have learned. I'm 70 and I've been doing it since I was a little kid. So it's taken me all this lifetime to get to a revelation in this particular area right here. It has to do with bricks, has to do with minerals, has to do with pests and diseases, has to do with the whole ball of wax, because it also affects animals, right? As it affects plants. Well, it affects insects, plants, animals, birds. We're all in this together, and it's the very same. You understand this, you will understand how we can stay healthy. You understand how diseases work in the body. You understand how diseases work in animals. You understand how diseases work, period. Okay? But in terms of growing things, in terms of dealing with the plants and diseases, this, and so that's why I'm taking not just going to take a month, but I will continue the process, which I've been doing this for a longer, longer time. And in my book, Don't Panic, It's Organic, I have covered a lot of these things. This is like number 21, and I will probably be doing it again in a few more years, updating and putting new stuff coming. I'm already working on Invisible Gardener Part 2, and I have another book called Energetic Healing. But this particular one, Don't Panic, It's Organic. I went into bricks a lot. The only thing I didn't do, bricks a lot, get it? The only thing I didn't do was to copy this chart. I would love to reprint the chart, but I probably may see about getting permission and then putting it into the book. But at least now I can still give it away. So, and Kerry Rings developed this chart, and that's why he said poor, average, good, and excellent, and exactly what it means. And so if your vegetable, for example, here's a broccoli that if you're at your bricks level is six, you're in the poor, 8 average, 10 good, and 12 is excellent. Now, what does that mean? Okay, so basically excellent means it's going to be tasty, it's going to be delicious, and it'll be rich in all the minerals, right? It's going to be called what we like to call dense food, right? And when poor is the opposite, right? Okay, so there are a bunch of different things I have. I'm having an allergy to almost anything I eat now. I've given up bread. I've given up. Boy, what's happening is I remember, if you guys have been watching my show, listening to my show, I've been going through the dental surgery. So when they do the dental work, you can't eat solids for a long time. So I lost 27 pounds. And so I've been trying to do a liquid food diet, but too much, not necessary vegetables, but fruit, too much sugar in the fruit. And then apple juice. And then sugar in the mixture that the doctor gave me. That's too much sugar. Okay, so certain things I realized. So when I looked at his chart, I said, cool, here's a chart that basically gives you a taste test, right? And a taste and quality test. That's what it is. If your apples are over 18 Brix level, then you'll know that they'll not only be delicious, but healthy for you. They should have lots and lots of minerals and you know, the whole thing, right? And they don't rot. That's the whole thing about organic gardening, right? You would think that these were grown organically, therefore they have high Brix levels, that they will all have very good for you. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work out that way, in the sense that my experience has been there are very few really good organic gardeners who know what they're doing. There are lots of people who call themselves organic gardeners, lots of people who work conventional gardeners, right? Conventional meaning they use standard pesticides and stuff, decided to make more money doing this. Now they're doing that, but they don't know what the hell they're doing, right? They don't know what they're doing. Well, we're not using any chemical pesticides and fertilizers. We're not giving them anything. We're organic, right? We're good. No. Okay, so this was what the whole organic thing is all about, is how do we get all these minerals into our bodies, because I can't eat rocks. I tried it. Trust me, you can chew on rocks for a long time, and you can't go to the bathroom. It's a mess. And you really don't want to be doing that. That's why I've discovered, and it's not much of a discovery, right? That we eat other things, that eat other things, that eat other things. Something ate that, something ate that. That's how we end up with the stew, what we need. But if it's not there, you're going to die from it. And what's happening is that we have screwed up the system so much. We have screwed up so much that now we're not getting all the minerals and the trace minerals that we need. And likewise, the soil doesn't have all the trace minerals that it needs. Think about in the past, you have billions and trillions of birds and creatures and all kinds of stuff going all over the place. It's one heck of a lot of poo-poo, ain't it? Think about it. And I learned from experience that the animal poop is one of the ways in nature meant to not only take minerals from one part of the country or the world to another part, but also the bacteria. And so you have animals that would run up and down, eat things in one part of the United States, and then poo-poo in another, die in another part. The animals were going all over the place. Well, that's one of the ways, and there are lots of ways that the Earth has set up for the minerals. It's called remineralization. Very, very, very important. I'm starting to sound like somebody on TV. Very, very important. And it's called remineralization. One of the things I'm going to be doing is, this is just a wish list, but in March, I'm doing a rock dust month called Remineralization Month. I think I'm going to have Joanne Campy and Don Weaver on. They're both friends of mine. I said I think, but I haven't asked him yet, even though Joanne was going to be on as a guest. That's when the fire came along, so I would like her to be the first on as a guest, but I also want her to be a part of this rock dust thing, so I think she'll go for that. Don Weaver wrote The Remineralization of the Planet and several other books, and we might be able to get other people on for that month about rock dust, different companies that deal with rock dust and so forth. But that's going to be in March. Let's see. So what I've learned, not only does his numbers tell you, because I'm looking, when I looked at it, I go, well, okay, so I'm going to take a coconut, for example, and the coconut should have 14 excellent. Brix reading should be 14, and that means that's really good. Now, this means that if you look at this, you'll find that they're measuring the Brix of the actual fruit or vegetable, like a coconut, like a cantaloupe or a coconut. So they don't in a coconut, you're not measuring the coconut tree, you're measuring the coconut. Same thing with English peas, right? Or sweet potatoes. And you have sweet potato, you're not measuring the vine of the potatoes growing on, you're measuring the sweet potato. So I'm going, wait a minute. So, because there are certain things in alfalfa, you can measure the grasses, okay? So he says alfalfa, should have a 22 of bricks level of 22, right? Certain grain should be have a bricks level of 18 to be excellent, right? So these are, and this is what you, this is the fruit, the actual, but not the plant, because I'm looking at it, I'm going, wait a minute, where are the plants? You know, this lettuce, well, that's a plant, you know, right? Lettuce. And you got, you have, you know, let's see, what else can you measure as a plant? I'm going, they don't, you know, so, and for growers, they did talk about, he does have roses on here. He has corn. How do you measure the stalk of corn? So for a grower, he did cover it from there. And he talks about alfalfa and in terms of apples. But again, not the plant itself, but the actual product, like peaches and peanuts and prunes and raisins. Those are the actual thing, watermelon. Didn't measure the watermelon vine, he measured the watermelon. So I'm going, hmm. So when I, what I started to do is, for example, I think there's a one over here on citrus. Oh, there's limes. Okay, that's a citrus. Grapefruit. Okay, so for a grapefruit, for example, is an 18, a bricks level of 18, he says is excellent. Okay, so I said, well, does that mean that the tree, the leaf, should be bricks level of 18? And so I started that process of what I do is I measure the leaves, right, the little leaves, and I also measure the flowers. And you find it very interesting because that actually tells you the bricks level of the plant itself. It's important to know the bricks level of the plant because if it's like knowing the health of the plant. Because if the bricks level is really high of the plant, everything's functioning, working really well. If it's low, see the bricks level of the juice and the fruit can vary. Okay, so you know you can, it, if you let it up there for a really long time, for example, the citrus, the bricks level will go up because it's fermenting. It's like reading the bricks level of grapes juice, right? If different stages of the grape, you have to pick it at the right time. Otherwise, it keeps on going and it'll be riper and riper, and the bricks level will ripen because there's more and more sugar, right? Okay, so. But so that's why they do that so they can figure out when to pick it and stuff and how when you eat it, you know, like raisins or green peas and stuff like that. But I measure the bricks level of the plant, of the tree. I've done trees, I do lawns, I do roses. Like I said, he has roses here, for example, the bricks level of roses. And he only has excellent and disease-free. And the disease-free is no comment. And the excellent means 15. Bricks level. He didn't, obviously, he must have only good roses because he doesn't have any poor or average or good, only excellent. Only excellent roses. I guess he's saying something about his roses. And also the whole bricks reading thing will vary according to time of year. So if you have roses and you have them year round, of course, right, and you measure them in the wintertime, you're going to get different bricks reading than you measure them in the summertime, right? Figure it out. The warmer it is, the more the circulation, the more fruit, more juice, the sweeter the bricks level will go up and down according to the circulation of the plant. But there are other things that I have discovered, and this is some of the important part, is that the higher, and I like to come up with these things because it makes it really easy to explain. So we'll say the higher the pest, the higher the stress, right? It's good for me to write it down. The higher the stress, the higher the pest, and also the higher the diseases, right? Okay, stress. So when a bricks level is low, so they go the lower the bricks, the higher the stress. See? So when it means poor, it basically means if I was to test a mango tree and that mango had a poor bricks level, I would go, holy cow, the thing is barely alive. Of course it's going to get attacked by stuff. And so what I've learned is that if there's a certain level, that's why he has disease-free here. So he has onions, for example. The bricks, when they're excellent, there will be disease-free. Why would they be disease-free when they're excellent? Why aren't they, right? Right? That's what I said. I said, gee, their bugs don't want to go after good tasting stuff? What? So there's a difference for us when it's good and bugs what's good. Okay, so the higher the stress, the greater the pest and disease. The higher the bricks, the less the pest and disease. And So I developed that over the years doing my stuff. And then I also come up with something else too. I says, what is the difference? Like I said, why do they like that? And why don't you like that? You know, what makes a difference is the trace minerals content. So the higher the bricks, the higher the minerals. Here again, it's a little more confusing because what happens is that, and this is, I didn't, some things I invented, you know, the things and stuff, but there's a lot of research going on in bricks and refractometer by a lot of different folks. And once you start reading and talking to people, you'll see that this is not something I just made up. But it's called a fuzzy rule. So if you learn to look through bricks, you're looking through a circle, you know, in a circle, you'll see a line in the middle, another line dissecting it. So you have like an X in the middle. You have horizontal, which basically means you think of that as zero. That's your level. And the line going up, it's bricks going up, and you have bricks levels going down. Nobody should have a negative bricks level, okay? But basically, you don't, excuse me, it's not that you have a line. What happens is that there's a line between a white area on top and a dark area on the bottom, okay? And that line where they meet, that's your line. And then you have these levels, you have these bricks, they have these little lines that go up and down the thing. They tell you the numbers, have numbers along the side. It'll say 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. And in that place where the dark and the light meet, that number right there, that's your bricks level. Okay? Now the fuzzy line rule has to do with this difference between the dark and the light. So if there's a real sharp line there between the real sharp meeting between the dark and the light, that means there's probably one or two trace metals, one particular trace metal. And the more fuzzier it gets, in other words, the line stretches out a little bit more, that line is a little bit fuzzy and it spreads out a little bit more, it's hard, it doesn't, the more the fuzzier, the more minerals it has. Because this particular refractometer that we use to measure brick was, its goal is not to break it up into minerals. So you can buy a different type of refractometer, which costs more, which will break it up into minerals for you, computerized and that whole thing. But this will give you a real good idea. So that fuzzy rule was developed by another person that I know, basically says, yeah, look at all the, it's a combination of trace minerals, iron, calcium, magnesium, all these different things, which makes the refractometer really, really fuzzy in that little area. See? So the higher the bricks level, and the higher you, and if you're doing it correctly, where you have all of the trace minerals, and I mean all of the trace minerals, right? So the difference here, so here's the thing that I've learned, and I've pretty much developed, and I'm open to comments, and I'm looking for all the professionals just to tell me what they think and so forth. And you know, I haven't proven it because I like to be able to prove it. You need a lab work and all this stuff needs to be studied. But here's what happens. Okay, so I've learned it has to do with carbohydrates. So carbohydrates, there are two type of carbohydrates. There's complex carbohydrates and simple carbohydrates. In our bodies, simple carbohydrates are real bad for us. Complex carbohydrates are better. In the body of the plants and the trees, the same thing. It just so happens that simple carbohydrates is what the bug eats. They cannot eat complex carbohydrates. So what I'm saying is that I realize the more minerals you have in your body, the more complex your carbohydrates will be. The less minerals you have in, I'm talking about the trees. The less minerals they have, a combination of it, the more simple carbohydrates they have. The bugs will not attack them if they have complex carbohydrates. If a plant looks, a bug looks like the plant says, oh, it's food for me. So he has a built-in refractometer over, he has evolved to understand that's simple carbohydrates, food for me. As opposed to complex carbohydrates, I'm not going to touch it. Same thing what happens with trees and tree diseases and stuff like that. So right now there's, you know, there's lots of borers, tree borer this, bark beetle there, shot hole borer, you name it, there's tons of them out there attacking the trees. And the trees are stressed out, right? They will be stressed out lots of different ways. Humans have a way of stressing everything out, lots of ways. So climate change, by causing this radical change in climate change, that caused that stressing the trees out by taking all the underground water away, because normally the trees would survive these changes because they have all the underground water, but they don't have any underground water because we took it all. And it was millions of years to put that stuff in there. Now you're going to, you know, some California is starting to pump it back in again. That could be at it for a long time. And California is sinking in certain places because we took out the groundwater. And trees have massive roots that go down looking for the water. My friend said, trees don't need water. Yeah, right. They don't need water from humans. If a tree can go 8 months without getting water, it has a water source somewhere down there. If you take that away, then they're not getting the water. That's what happens with, trees that people take care of in their properties. So they would say, well, we're in a drought and we need to cut back on your lawn, right? Don't have a lawn. Just don't water the lawn. You'll be fine. Well, what about the trees that are on that lawn? So if you're taking away their deep water, and they're used to this short watering. A lot of people water daily or every other day, a couple of minutes. So the roots don't go down very deep. The deep roots are dying, and the shallow roots are also going to die too because they're not getting water. And that's not one way you can tell what's going on. You have a rainy season, and the trees topple over. Oh, shallow roots, because that's all that we're getting is shallow watering. There's no reason for the roots to go down deep. Or if they could, there's nothing down there. They die. So what happens is that the insects have evolved over the years to tell when a plant needs to be harvested. Okay, that's a job. Everything has a job in nature. I talk about mycelium a lot, the earth mycelium, being the first gardener and the last gardener. Mycelium, we have evolved from mycelium. We as human beings have evolved because millions of years to evolve from mycelium. If you look at the picture of a Milky Way, of stars in the sky, and then you look at a picture of our brain and how it works, and you look at a picture of the clusters of the mycelium in the soil, you're going to see that they're almost identical the way it works. And you're going to go, whoa. And so we decided, along, just like with other animals, we're going to get up and detach ourselves from the soil. And therefore, because we're not longer on the soil, we're better than it, and we don't need it. No, but you need it. You know, it's just to grow food, right? That gives you an example right off the bat. We need to grow food, so we use it from the soil. We're still attached to it, but it's just not, you know, physically. And maybe, you know, we're going down the wrong path where we think we're better than everything because we don't need the soil anymore, which is wrong. If no soil, we would be living in a barren environment, right? So this whole BRICS thing is a indicator that there's something wrong if you have low BRICS level on your fruit and vegetable tree, on your lawn, on your roses. And what you do is you develop, say that plant's healthy. So I will measure it for a year so I get some idea how it looks like year round, and record the BRICS reading, and that's the healthy one. And that's the level I want my rest of these trees to be. Really licensing that citrus and apples and oranges and so forth have a different, slightly different BRICS level. Same thing with the vegetables. They all have very different BRICS levels. And with the vegetables, well, you can go overboard. Like in 1 year, I said, well, I'm going to test this. I'm going to test everything. Seriously, I stopped it because of my nose and my food, my sense of taste would tell me, you know, that it's great, that it's delicious. But you can always test it just to see what's going in, what's if you think, if you're a farmer, right, or, you know, if you're growing tomatoes. For example, tomatoes have a poor BRICS level is 10, a good, excellent BRICS level is 22. My tomatoes are usually 28, 22 plus. And it's interesting enough, too, it works for diseases. So it works for pests. The reason why it works for pests is I explained. They know not food for me, so they're not going to eat it. My philosophy is if the pest can't find you, it can't attack you, right? Same thing with mosquitoes. If a mosquito can't find you, it ain't going to bite you. I have a book called How to Control Mosquitoes Naturally. It really comes down to one thing, garlic. And it actually comes down to the trace minerals in your body. Lack of trace minerals in your body. Lack of a certain trace mineral in your body will produce a wide variety of diseases and attract a wide variety of pests in your human body and even animals and everything else. But so there's no coincidence that we all are connected this way. The trees,
So if the trace minerals have a certain deficiency in their body, certain trace mineral deficiency, it will produce a certain result that the bugs will attack themselves to. The bugs, amongst other things, what they do is they usually bring their own pest, their own diseases with them, right? They're a vector for diseases that they, throughout the evolution, have learned to evolve together. The disease know that if this bug goes there because the conditions are right, I'm going to, and perfect for me to take off, right? See, the stress keys into the stress. It's a never-ending thing. You get more and more stressed out, the more you're going to get attacked by everything, time to clean you up. And so it's the same thing with the diseases, a wide variety of diseases. I'm talking about trees and plants and stuff like that. So all diseases are soil-borne. They're in the soil. Interestingly enough, all diseases are also in your body. If you talk about human body, they're already in there. This is waiting for the right condition to make them, to trigger them into action. So these, in the soil, they have a wide variety of diseases already in there. It's a living organisms, the mycorrhizae, that keeps it in check. I tell people, you don't have the good guys and the bad guys don't live in the same place. And that's true. So when you have a disease, you got the bad guys. And there's no really bad guys and good guys, but it makes it real simple because these guys are not bad guys. They're doing their job. So it's not like you're going to go to jail. They're supposed to do, that's what diseases do. They clean it up. Lots of different ways to clean things up, right? And so that's what we have to get across and teach. I have to try to get that across to professionals, universities, agricultural people, because they're still stuck in, let's spray this to kill this bug. The bug's doing what it's supposed to do. If the bug's going after something, it tells me there's something wrong with that plant that you're missing. You're missing something because the bugs say, hey, and killing the bug doesn't solve the problem. And it's usually nutrition, usually minerals. Conventionally grown food are minerally deficient. Organically grown food, if grown correctly, are not. I know lots of people do conventionally grow, and they say, well, we have 10 pounds of calcium, we have 10 pounds of potassium, 10 pounds of iron, 10 pounds of, you know what I mean? So if you're a chemist and you got it together, you figure out how to make it happen, good for you. I'm not. And I don't know too many chemists, so I go organic, which basically means always go for a blend of different mineral sources. That way you get all the minerals in. I get something called C90. So it has 90 different trace minerals from a different source. Okay? And of course I get, not of course, but I have about maybe 12, 14 different sources of rock dust. Right? See what I'm saying? So, I also learned, so one of the things about using the brick, a refractometer and stuff like that, is you learn that you just can't throw the minerals around. You have to have something that eats it, because it's a combination of the microbial life eating the minerals. And what I like to say, the poop of the bacteria is a food for the soil. That basically what it is, because the mycorrhiza has evolved over the years to digest the minerals, to digest these different things and convert them into a food value for the plants. So I think we're going to probably be going now and pretty soon, and because I'm hopefully come back and do some of my music. So next week, I'm going to have my refractometers here, and I'm going to teach you how to use a refractometer. If you want to learn how to use a refractometer, I would seriously go online, buy one, have it shipped to you. But by the time you get to the next show, we have two, the rest of the month to also be playing with the refractometer and bricks, and I'm going to be doing readings and talking more about that, the what it's so important about it, right? And so if you want to enter the contest, you just go to invisiblegardener.com, GARDENER.com. Click on the newsletter. Say, hi, Andy. I heard you on my radio show. Please enter me in the contest. And you will win automatically. If you just enter in the newsletter, say, hi, Andy. I listen to you on BBS Radio or whatever other radio station you're on, because I'm on lots of different radios on my iTunes and Jargo and a bunch of stuff, Spotify, different places, SoundCloud. Just say what station you're on, and I will automatically email you back with a link saying you have won. And but wait, let me explain. So you'll win the digital version. That means that you It was $20 for a lifetime membership, but that's a digital version. So you can get an email back that says, here's your use, you know, follow the instructions. You end up with a user ID and password. You get immediately my book, Don't Panic, It's Organic, but in an ebook version, right? And you get access to the website for all the other 21 ebooks, and as well get information and help from me. The $55 for a membership is basically for if you want to get the physical $20 book. And so what I do is I give away one a week on my show here. And so if you want to get, all you have to do is say, you know, ideally what I do is I ask people for a question but if just say I listen to on VBSradio.com, please enter me in the contest. And then it's not once a week, once a month. And then I will put them in a separate folder. And at the end of the month, I'll pick the winner who will get the $55 membership, and they'll get the book, the printed version of the book. Let me explain too what happens. Not only do they get the printed version, you get two of them. There's a color version and a black and white version. The black color version is a limited printed edition. It's $100 because it's a color, and the black and white version is $20. Okay, so I think we're going to be finishing soon. I got another minute to go. Go. Next week I'll be back again at this same time. Thank you very much for listening to me. Any questions, you know how to get a hold of me, just go to invisiblegardener.com. If you're already getting the newsletter, then just hit the inquiry button. The inquiry button will set you up with sending me an email. And also, too, if you get the newsletter, you'll get all this information already. So I think we'll probably have another, it's time now, even though I don't see anything indicates otherwise.